it's time. It is that time. That time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, 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 on a Tuesday. Styles and Watkins. From now till 2, we talk Kings, we talk NFL playoffs. And you know what? There's no murmurs here. Mm-mm. There's no rumors. There's no sources. We talk about what happens on the court. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But you send all these people around in a circle. Pascal Siakam said this. He said that. And we're right back where what we knew months ago, that he was going to test out free agency. But because of content and everybody has to have a take, even if it's not a take, there are conversations about things we already knew, just repackaged. You know, Chris, you have a sibling. You ever give your sibling, when you were younger, a present that's just
No, it's just already no.
No. Okay, fair enough. But I would do this. I would mess around with my little sister where I would take something from her room and have my mom wrap it and then give it back to her on Christmas. That's what some of these people are doing out here. Well, Pascal, he said this, okay? When in reality, you're repackaging it as if it's something that Pascal only said here. We don't know, because hashtag sources, but they only said this. And then it comes out that we're exactly where we were 2 months ago. Chris Watkins, myself, yes, we're going to continue to talk about trades, and we joke, and we love the trade machine, but we're going to talk about what happens on the court. Because a lot of people want to walk around and act like they know things or they've heard things, and I'm not saying whether they do or not. All I'm saying is Alan Styles, who currently doesn't have any sources, got the same information that somebody with hashtag sources had. I had to get that out. We got more to go on that. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Yeah, nice to have the nice little extended weekend. Nice that the Kings, I guess, you know, again, we'll talk about it, but I'm glad that even though it was a heartbreaker on Sunday, I'm glad that it was at least a close game, because that Friday game against the Sixers was definitely up there with one of the most unwatchable basketball games I've seen in a really long time.
It's bad.
And, you know, we got some blowouts in football, but we got one good game and just tons of storylines to follow from it, and we know the Niners' opponent now, so I guess all in all, feeling pretty decent, and hoping the Kings can get the result tonight, because tonight we see the Suns' big three in action for the first time. So excited to see how that goes.
That score is probably going to be 160 to 150.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be high.
Zero defense will be played. Mm-mm. And hopefully the Kevin Huerter that we saw show up against the Bucks shows up.
Man.
I was watching Kevin Huerter shoot, and obviously you've watched him for longer than I have. But the hitch that he has had, where he kind of stops at the top of his jump shot, it felt like somebody said something when I posted it, and I said, it looks like his hitch is gone. And somebody said, that's the problem with Kevin Huerter. He's had about three different looking jump shots this season. Would you agree with that?
I don't think so. I think Kevin takes a lot of difficult angled shots, and I think that leads to some different releases. But I think at the end of the day, the thing, like, because he, I mean, and I shout out our guys, Brendan and Frankie, hosting the show yesterday. We both hopped on as they did a little nice little MLK special. Brendan said yesterday, like, the thing that doesn't get talked about enough when it comes to Kevin Huerter is he sprints all the time on the offensive end. So when he's usually shooting, it's usually from a full sprint to him receiving the handoff, taking two steps, and then trying to almost square his shoulders in the middle of the air. And I think a lot of the time that momentum can lead to a lot of shifting of his body, and it throws off his timing. So it's a bit of an excuse, but I don't think his shot's been different. I just think he's had to take some weird angles and is just trying to kind of get his body back on center.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So we'll talk about the game coming up tonight, and can the Kings get it done? Obviously, we have to talk. I mean, there's nothing to talk about in Philly. I was ready to buy a cheesesteak. Yeah. I was ready to troll my friends and eat a cheesesteak on social media.
You're going to have to listen to the 2-6 show to get some Eagles talk.
Yeah, no, you definitely, I mean, Draper, who knows if Draper is going to call in sick or what the situation is.
I think he's still on the road, so he might have a built-in excuse.
I think
they come home tomorrow, so.
You're going to have to get that action, and it is the NFC least, as a lot of people have dubbed. They need to be relegated. They should be.
It's bad.
That's bad.
It's bad. The fact that the NFC South and the AFC South, for that matter, are still in the playoffs and you have both of the NFC East teams out, that's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. The fall of this Eagles team needs to be documented more. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how a team can go, were they 10-1? 10-1 at one point, and then to just completely... I don't think I've ever seen a team completely collapse like this. This is a full-blown rotting from that Chiefs win on, really. And, you know, Niners fans can take credit if they want and say the Niners broke them. But really, it was after Nick Sirianni yelled at all those Chiefs fans saying, I'm tired of hearing from y'all or whatever he yelled at that crowd. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, this Eagles team has not been the same. And the Cowboys, I mean... That's a whole different story. That's not even the Eagles were the frauds. There were signs of fraudulent behavior with the Eagles.
Right.
The Cowboys just straight choked. They straight up didn't show up. And there was a point in that game where, you know, I had to stop for a second. I was like, we all need to take a second here and collectively keep this man Dak Prescott in our thoughts and prayers, because you cannot be the franchise quarterback for that franchise and put together that performance and not just get absolutely blasted for the next 48 hours. So good luck, Dak. I pray for your mentions, and I just hope, you know, everything's good and your area is safe, because I know Cowboys fans are not happy today.
No, they're taking some solace in the Eagles not showing up either.
I guess.
But yeah, I mean, look, it's sour grapes, if you will. I don't know what the Cowboys do now. And Jordan,
can you move on from every, like, I mean, you yeah, have seriously, to, you like, have do you to, fire McCarthy? Do you let Dak go?
I would,
is it one of the other?
All of the above. Dak Prescott That's will get a job crazy. Somewhere for sure.
Oh, 1,000%,
I mean, but I just think it's not about Dak not being a good QB. He was in MVP talks, right? Yeah. Same with Jalen Hurts. It's a long season, but it is the definition of insanity.
Crazy.
You can't run this back. You can't continue
to
do the same thing. But Jordan, I mean,
shout out Jordan Love.
We gotta, right. I think the thing about Jordan Love is that we all thought the Cowboys, I thought the Cowboys would win,
right.
But we know who the Cowboys are and this version of the Cowboys. So I need to see Jordan Love. You don't even have to beat the Niners. But if you look even close to what you look like against the Cowboys, okay, the Packers got some action.
Scary.
But I think that's why I'm not on the Jordan Love bandwagon yet. I want to see what they do. Now, yes, the Cowboys defense was – and it was very bizarre. Dan Quinn, he's still going to get interviews, but
– Right. We just had Brandon on the other day, Brandon Gustafson of Seattle Sports. He was saying Dan Quinn was his pick to be the Seahawks next coach.
He's going to
be available, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's going to get the opportunity. This whole time you're playing man, and they said it on the broadcast, they decided to go zone. So they were just finding, who was it, Dobbs, just very easily. So you got to think, okay, Jordan Love, the same way we say about Brock Purdy, you got to make the throws.
Yeah.
And Jordan Love, he does make things look easy. And I've never been in the camp of the, sit behind a guy. Hey, if Patrick Mahomes didn't sit behind Alex Smith, would he not look like this? But you can definitely see that Jordan Love was taking notes. Some
For
of those
sure.
throws from Aaron Rodgers that aren't great. You don't tell your kids to throw the football like that, off platform, things like that. But it looked a lot like Aaron Rodgers. So I am very, very, very intrigued in this game. I hope it's a good game. Obviously, I want the Niners to win. I hope it's a good game. Ultimately, I think the Niners take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even still, even though the Packers did put together a great performance, this Niners team is a different level than even the Cowboys, and we've known that. I mean, there's definitely levels to this, and the Niners are the tippy-top floor. So, even if Jordan Love does have a great game, and that defense, shout out the Packers defense, really played incredible against the Cowboys, I don't think that they're going to be ready for the challenge that is the Niners. It's just too much. And you know, the Niners also have a much better defense than the Cowboys as well. So it'll be interesting to see if Jordan Love can get into the same kind of rhythm that he was able to get in that Cowboys game. I, you know, I've watched Jordan Love from afar this season, though I've definitely tuned into a good helping of their games being in the NFC North. He's definitely looked better. Like, this is a little bit, like, the last month of the season, he's really been a lot tighter as a quarterback. And you look at his numbers, and the numbers are there. I think he has, you know, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He has a really good touchdown-interception ratio. So this isn't abnormal, but he definitely elevated his play last week, or yesterday, or what was that, Saturday? Mm-hmm. I can't see it happening against this Niners team. And, you know, you do still have, we were concerned about the McVay angle of this and how much McVay intel he has on Shanahan. Can't forget that Washington graphic that's shown, Matt LaFleur is one of those guys as well. So, you know, to me, the same fears that you would have going against the McVay team, you should probably have some of those same fears going against the LaFleur-led team. But, again, I think that the Niners should be good enough to withstand all that.
Yeah, Jair Alexander going down, and we got to see where he's at. It just seems like, not that that guy is always injured, but he's always dealing with something.
Yeah.
There's always something going on.
He was the one who ran on the field, wasn't he? Who did the coin toss? Wasn't that Jair
Alexander? Yeah, that was him too. He had the two interceptions, so we'll see how he's feeling throughout the course of the season. Because ultimately, we got to get to a break here, but ultimately what I think is interesting, and I have not heard one person talk about this, is the fact that the Cowboys and that offense, they don't have a number two wide receiver.
No, absolutely.
That's
not.
That's what's so weird that I don't hear anybody talking about. Yeah. They move on from Schultz, they get Ferguson. Okay, they're tight ends. They always have a good tight end. You got CeeDee Lamb, and then who is your number two? Brandon Cooks, who is just every year he doesn't do enough. And
Michael
Gallup, right? They've just never had a legit number two. So I expect them to go out and do that. Now who's going to be throwing them the football?
Right.
Is the question. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to talk about NFL playoffs later in the show, we're of course going hardcore Kings and all of that jazz. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
A couple words that we have not said on this program in a long, long time.
It's been
as
a while.
We talk about the Dallas Cowboys and the idea of moving on from Dak Prescott. But if you move on from Dak Prescott, then what is next? And there is a guy, and Chris even said there was a shot of the two of them together.
I think it was right after Dak's pick six.
And you remember that Trey Lance is the third string quarterback on the Dallas Cowboys. All the potential in the world. We still haven't seen a lot from him. He's rode pine a lot. But if you are going to move on from Dak Prescott, well, Jerry, did you really just draft or trade for Trey in case you face the Niners and to get some intel?
No
way. Or do you think this kid can actually do some things? Because if you move on, you cannot move on from Dak Prescott and not give Trey an opportunity. Look, Sacramento area's finest, right? Maybe you bring in Jake Browning. You go Jake Browning, Trey Lance. I think the Cowboys fan base would lose it.
They sure
but
would.
You're stuck because, I mean, look, another guy, is he from Texas? I know he's from Texas, or maybe it was Oklahoma. I know he's from that area. Are they in the Kyler Murray sweepstakes, the Dallas Cowboys?
He's from Texas. He's like one of the best quarterbacks in Texas history.
All these records, are they in the Kyler Murray sweepstakes?
Absolutely.
What do you do? I don't know if you can afford to, if you're the Cowboys, unless you're just going to take a back seat. And look, I'm not going to talk about Jerry's age here, but I don't know if he has time.
He doesn't. He doesn't want to wait.
I don't know if he has time to start fresh with Trey Lance to see if that's going to work or not. They got to trade for somebody, and I'm looking at Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
I don't think that you want Geno Smith in Dallas. They are in a bit of a terrible position.
Yeah,
and I don't know what type of draft capital they have. I wouldn't put it past Jerry if he thinks one of these guys can come in quickly and trying to find a way. I'm not saying it's even possible.
Yeah,
but trying to find a way into the Caleb Williams sweepstakes, because I think that's where they're at. If they're gonna go rookie, go a rookie that you feel like is gonna be ready to go.
Yeah.
But again, the last rookie that was a sure thing. He was going to be the first pick in the draft ever since he stepped foot on campus at Clemson. Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
After all that, I'm going Karl Anthony Towns here. After all that, he really doesn't look like all that. He looks okay. He looks good.
But not enough to, like you're saying, if you're going to be the shipping off line, your future, if you're sending, you know, all your future picks off to move up in a draft to go get that, that's Trevor Lawrence. You'd ideally want somebody, I mean, even though Trevor's been fine, you'd like somebody who's like head and shoulders, clearly an incredible quarterback. And yeah, I mean, it's risky. I don't know. I mean, I definitely think this is why people say Dak is in that Kirk Cousins conversation. It's just he's good. He's really good. And you could do way worse than Dak. That's the thing. You can't just move on from him and say, ah, we'll bring in Derek Carr and have similar production and pay him way less. It's no, Dak is a good quarterback who definitely is top 10 and can, you know, sometimes touch that top five. Like you said, he was in the MVP conversation for a good portion of this year, but it just feels like in a gotta-have-it game, or more specifically in these playoff situations where you have to have good performances, ends up coming up short when you really feel like, okay, now is a prove-it. And the Packers weren't even a prove-it game. It's not even like Dak got to the stage where it was, okay, here's a real career-defining game for Dak Prescott. He didn't even let himself get into that kind of situation. So, I don't know. It's really tough because it's going to take a lot of convincing to move on from Dak Prescott, too, unless you have, like you're saying, another for sure talented guy that's coming in. And that's, I mean, you're going to have to do the risk management of, okay, we ship off Dak and bring in Kyler. Are those assets that, you know, we have to give up to get Kyler worth how much better he's going to make us, or are we just going to end up being a different version of the same thing?
And look, nobody wants to tank, right? I think it's the best to tank in football because that's the one, you know, that's the sport you're not dealing with lottery and ping pong balls. Right. If you stink, you stink. And I'm looking here, and the reason I say that is because if you're the Arizona Cardinals and you haven't really been doing too much, right? Is it possible you just do a trade and you bring in Dak and you know how much of a haul you could get for your pick in the draft and you decide not to go in the QB direction and you just do a straight swap? You know, you have some pieces, you have some offensive weapons, right? Maybe you do. You were winning games with your boy, right?
Right.
Out there in Minnesota now. So is it possible that you think about this in a different way? You know how much that pick is worth. And instead of going full tank mode, you bring in Dak Prescott. The lights in Arizona are a little bit different than the lights in Dallas. You trade your pick for and just make. Just really just improve your team all around, and you do that instead of taking a chance, because it is still a chance, a gamble.
Yeah, it probably depends on how much the Cowboys give, because I don't know if the Cardinals would feel better about theirs. Obviously, I mean, the Cowboys would be getting a younger quarterback, and, you know, I don't know. Kyler and Dak are probably near the same tier, but that's not quite like a Stafford for Goff, where, like, Stafford is clearly in this tier two and Goff is in a tier four. Those guys are kind of similar, so I don't know if
at least he
Arizona
has upside, though. I just don't know.
I feel
what
like
the
Kyler
Cowboys
has
can
more upside.
No, yeah,
than
yeah.
So why would Arizona do it? Would be my question.
Sure, Arizona would do it because Dak has shown that with weapons he can make some.
Maybe
things
he's
happen.
A better leader too.
He's a better right. Yeah. He is.
People say Dak's command at the line of scrimmage is as close to Peyton Manning as you're going to get. So I mean, if you're an organization that needs some organization, it sounds like Dak would be
possibly. That's what I'm thinking. Dak is not a bad quarterback, right? And if you're Arizona and you want to take a chance on one of these.
Kyler's got some health issues too, you know, tiny guy.
It's a gamble on both sides. Sure. I think it's a bit safer for the Cardinals because you know now that you can depend on Dak. Is he perfect? No.
Yeah.
But you're the Arizona Cardinals, right? And do you really trust.
Also,
really
Jerry's
trust,
desperate. So I would say, hey, give me Dak and some high picks, like second round pick, maybe a third round pick.
Give it Dak and Trey Lance. They're just a package deal. They go everywhere
Why
together.
Why not?
and you just figure it out from there. I just can't see the Cowboys going in the direction of a Kirk Cousins, especially after an Achilles.
No.
And or dare I say, I know he's also coming off an Achilles. Does Jerry's running out of time?
Aaron?
Does he just go for the home run? Aaron, give me 1 year. Mm. Let's see if we can make this pop.
I think anything's possible. I really do think. It wouldn't surprise me if, I could see there's a universe out there where next year the Dallas Cowboys are running out on their sideline. Sure, why not? We'll say Aaron Rodgers and Bill Belichick. I don't think anything is out of the question. Mm-hmm. I think, like you said, I think Jerry's desperate enough to get one more Super Bowl before he calls it quits, whatever that looks like. And I could see him saying, hey, yeah, Bill, the greatest head coach of all time's out there. One of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen is out there at a discounted rate. And maybe New York is sick of him already with all the hubbub he's causing. Maybe. I could definitely see it. It wouldn't surprise me if Mike Vrabel's their coach. I mean, I think something's got to change, though, between the court. I think the coach is the more likely option, but there's no way next year that the Cowboys can run out both Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy and feel good about their chances of doing anything different than what we've seen them do the last 3 years.
Can't do it. And, I mean, is this about Jerry Jones? Is it time for Jerry Jones to look in the mirror and say, okay, I can get, hey, Belichick, I'm not going to do what I've been doing. I'm going to take a step back. How bad do you want the ring, Jerry?
Yep,
because you can't keep doing it like this. Nope. Clearly, it's not working. You can't keep hiring puppets and saying, hey, you're just the mouthpiece for me. It's not working, Jerry. And you would probably have another Super Bowl if you didn't run Jimmy Johnson out of town.
Yep.
So this is what you get. I'm looking here. Some of the other options. The Giants have the sixth pick in the draft. Do you look at a Daniel Jones? Are you interested in Daniel Jones? I'm not.
I'm good.
But maybe somebody is the Chargers. They got the fifth pick. Like I said, Arizona, the fourth pick. And, not enough people are talking about this as well. The Patriots have the third pick in the draft. Do not let I know Belichick is out now, which is interesting, because don't let Caleb Williams get to the Patriots. I know Belichick's not there, so who are the Patriots now?
Sure.
But I am really, really excited for this offseason. There's going to be a lot of dancing and shuffling things around. Getting to a break when we get back, opening up the phone lines. If you want to be a part of the conversation, getting into some Kings in a little bit as well. Chris Biederman at 11 o'clock. That'll kick off our Kings talk. Yeah, the Niners should probably get it done. We'll tell you who else is in the playoff. The quarterbacks, and if not now, then when? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local. This is Sacktown Sports.
We're back. The Sack Chat, Stiles and Watkins, taking you up to 2 p.m. The Sack Chat is our YouTube chat. If you are driving right now and you are almost home and you want to continue to be a part of the show, make sure you hop in. It's growing each and every day, and we love our Sack Chatters. Shout out to the text line and the call line as well, 916-339-1140. All guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. The Sack Chat is trying to figure out how to fix the Kings' free throw woes. Now, De'Aaron Fox actually went 6 of 7. The one he missed was at a terrible time.
Yep.
But he did go 6 of 7 on, what was that, Sunday? That was Sunday. Malik Monk with two awful misses at the end of the game. And that was insane to me. That second miss, Chris Watkins, on the side of the rim.
Yeah.
Brother, are you okay?
No, he's not. I don't know.
Are you okay? Are the Kings okay?
That's a fair question.
Somebody asked in the Sack Chat, what can they do? I have no clue. I have no clue.
I've got no answer for you. I mean, especially the fact it was Malik Monk who went 6 of 10, by the way, on Sunday. Mm-hmm. He missed 4 of the Kings' 5 free throws. Like you said, De'Aaron missed the other one. Malik shot just under 90% from the free throw line last year.
He's at 84, high 84 this year.
Did you check that today? Because I checked on Sunday, and he was at 87%. So that tells you that he dropped 3% by missing those 4 free throws, which should tell you how absolutely out of character that moment was. Yeah. I have no idea how they can get better. I joked yesterday with Brennan and Frankie about it. I haven't been able to go to as many practices this year as I did last year for the Kings because we have the show at about the same time they have practice. But the few practices I've been able to make this year, and I would say probably 75 to 80% of the practices we went to last year, people would think we get the inside track on all that stuff. quite literally the only thing that we see, again, about 80 to 85% of the time when us as media go to Kings practice, is them shooting free throws. They do this drill where they'll just call someone out, say, Malik, come up to the free throw line, shoot two free throws. If you miss one, the entire team runs down to the other side
of
the floor and back.
They're doing this
mid-season. That's all they do. This is the only thing the Kings do. Whenever you see the Brendan, Frankie, Sean Cunningham, anyone post videos at practice, just know 10 minutes before that video was posted, they probably watched the team taking free throws. So I don't know what to tell you, because they actually practice free throws in about as good of a pressure environment as you can simulate in a practice. And I'll tell you what, they miss them in practice too, all the time.
That's bad.
So the time.
Well, that's why
they're
so well-conditioned.
They're just bad free-throw shooting team.
That's why they're so well-conditioned.
Absolutely.
Because they keep clanking free throws, and they got to get on the line like Coach Carter.
Oh, well, I'll have Brendan and Frankie tell you a story about this summer. At training camp this year, there was a time where they told me they were legitimately in there for 10 to 20 minutes just waiting for them to finish that drill, because nobody, they were just
that's
like,
so
finish
bad.
Somebody, anybody on the team, make two free throws in a row, and we'll break it down. It'll be the end of practice. Again, I don't want to speak for Brendan and Frankie. We'll have them tell it on Wednesday. But they pretty much said Mike Brown went down the line and had to go back to the front of the line before they ended up ending that drill. So I think it's just kind of this team does not have good free throw shooters.
That seems like a problem.
Anybody feel better about the situation, but I think they're just built like that.
Is it crazy to think that
someone's got to be the worst, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's the Kings. Is it crazy to think that in looking, if you're Monty McNair, is it crazy to think that you have to keep that? Is that in your thought process at all? How does this guy shoot free throws? I know it sounds crazy, but
it's definitely, it feels like a plus. Like, it feels like something where it's like, it's an added, I don't think it's going to be what Monty's looking for on the trade block,
but
at the same time,
in the league,
it adds your value to this team for sure.
They're on the line. Yeah. They cannot stop running. Like Coach Carter, our fear is not that we are inadequate. It's that we can't make a free throw when it matters or when it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a difference. Mm-mm. Okay. Now, like you said, I looked up 84.9% Malik Monk. That's got to be the highest on the team out of anybody who takes
anything
close to that amount.
I would assume.
That is the one guy you want. Because, Chris, I'm be honest with you. The Kings got lucky right there. I thought for sure Sabonis was going to get fouled at one point, and he was going to have to shoot the free throws. And I'm thinking, okay, well, he's definitely going to miss at least one. They got Malik. The Bucks tried to give
still,
the game
the way,
away.
Malik is still the best free throw shooter on
he's
the
gotta
team.
He's got
to
be.
Even Jordan Ford is shooting 1,000%, but I think he's taken one free throw.
They tried to give the game away. Here, please. And we'll talk later. Do the Kings actually have a signature win? Here, please, Kings, here's your signature win. Please, take it. And they just refuse. They just refuse. Let's get out to Doug, who wants to talk about the free throws. Doug, should they go Rick Barry? Should they go underhand? Doug, help us. What should the Kings do? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got?
Good morning, gentlemen. I love it because every day you guys just bring it, and you're hitting on the hot subjects and the tough ones to talk about, and you guys are trying to come up with a resolution to be able to stay in our local teams and whatever you guys can do to motivate and excite everybody. So I'm glad I get to be part of the conversation. I have is, well, which one of you said, I don't know what to do? Who was that?
Me,
both of us.
Yeah,
I think everybody.
Yeah, me.
Oh, okay. All right. So this is me. Now, you guys say you guys go to their practices and stuff, and you watch them, and you see how they – they go in and whatever routines that they go through based on the input that Mike Brown gets from, I assume, his assistants and whoever's doing their shooting drills, whoever's their shooting coach. And I'm wondering, it's like, well, you know, you look at the numbers and you're going, well, you know, you got to do something that's going to change it for the better. Well, if you don't see it's getting better, then you better try something else. I mean, they have to. I mean, I'll tell you what. This may not make a big deal to anybody, but it's important to me. I've been around basketball my whole life. I've been a high school coach for many years, and I have a technique that I use and stuff, and I am able to improve players just by going in and say, hey, if you just listen to what I say and you try what I say, mm-hmm. can't be any worse than what you're doing. So I would offer my services, and I'll take a season, two-season ticket for next year.
There you go.
I'll come over, and I'll show you how to do it.
That's what I'm talking about, Doug. Know your worth, Doug.
Thank you, Doug. Great call.
Hey, I'm not done. I'm not done.
Okay.
Can I keep going? So this is, as I'm watching the game, and I always talk about free throws at the end, and I count them while the game's going on, how many we missed. But the thing that I've learned over the years is it's not how many you make, it's when you make them.
Mm.
You can make your first 20, but the last 2 minutes of the game, and then you brick. And then what happens? Well, then you lose the game, and that's what we did. So, again, love your show, guys. Have a great call the rest of the day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for the call, Doug.
I'm not finished.
You know what, though? My argument is, and, you know, it's a good point, because I was going to say, hey, is it more between the ears than actually physically there's something wrong with their shots? But if you're telling me that they're clanking at practice, that means it's not in between the ears. That means there's something wrong, right? So whatever you're doing, if you are a guy who, this was me back in my day, I would go spin in the left hand, of course, three bounces, one, two, three, and I would always leave my shot short, so I would bend the knees to remind myself, then I'd shoot. But if I'm a 50% free throw shooter or 70%, whatever is bad for my position, maybe I should change it up.
Right.
Maybe I should do something different. And I feel bad coming out Malik because he is shooting 84.9%. But just like Doug said, it's not about how much you make. It's about when you make them. And Katie on the broadcast said, well, you know, the great thing about, and we love Katie. She's on these airwaves all the time with our guy, Kyle Draper. Well, you know, the good thing about Malik is he's going to flush this. He's not going to remember this. And I know how she meant it, the context of, hey, move forward. You're going to get it done. But maybe Malik shouldn't forget it. Maybe the Kings shouldn't forget it because they keep on doing the same thing. Maybe they should remember. I'm seeing in the Sack Chat, hey, Chris, they said that, you know, they run after they miss. Maybe they should do that after games, too. You know, you already do it about high school with these rotations anyway, Coach Mike Brown. Just go full. Hey, guys. What you getting dressed for? What you getting dressed for?
You know, we got laps to run, boys.
In baseball, we had a thing. We had a big hill, right? And anytime we lost a game, we would have to run hills based on how many runs we lost by. So if we got blasted, we up that hill 10 times.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds ridiculous, and obviously they're not going to do it.
They sure
but
are.
Chris, I'm searching here because you're not going to win a playoff series. Nope. Who is the worst free throw shooting team? This is somebody's homework.
Looked this up at once.
Not
at
to win point. It though. Yeah. Not to win it. If you come into the playoffs, first of all, I don't know how many teams.
I think when we looked it up, it was the 03 Pistons.
It was the 03 Pistons. But they won the whole thing. Yeah. How about just winning a series?
Yeah. That's going to be
But the 03 Pistons, I'm assuming they shot better than the Kings.
I don't know. Ben Wallace was
out there 50%. Clanking. Well, maybe it's possible.
It's possible, but you have to play defense at that point. I mean, if the Kings don't rebound well, with the exception of Sabonis, they don't defend, and they don't hit free throws. Those are three major keys to winning basketball games. And if I could real quick offer up a solution, which we saw on Sunday. I mean, we saw the solution on Sunday. If you want to be better at free throws, you just have to take 15 seconds to shoot them.
Yes. Really focus up there.
It seemed to work for Giannis. I mean, Giannis, Mike, I mean, this dude gets two dribbles. He gets an attempt. He gets to wave at his brother, do a handshake, and then he gets to shoot his free throws. Maybe the Kings are just taking him too quick. Maybe if we just read a book and then shot the free throws, maybe our free throw percentages would rise a bit. I don't know. I mean, it seems to work from Giannis because I've never seen anything like that before. So if we're talking about some solutions to problems that we just don't have, I mean, I can't believe that you could take 15 seconds on a free throw.
And it used to take longer.
And, I mean, and the only reason why the NBA would hold him accountable is if the crowd counts to 10 seconds themselves,
home game.
Which is insane. So yeah. I'm kind of joking, but seriously, like maybe just take more time. Use all of the time. That might throw off your rhythm, but oh my goodness. You can't get worse than you are now.
No, it's serious though. You might need to have a free throw specialist or somebody come in and talk to this team because the book is out. And you're going to keep getting hacked.
You're going to lose games, yeah.
You're going to keep getting hacked.
Especially in close situations, people will just foul you instead of allowing them to shoot the three.
Yeah. And you know what? The Kings even know it. They don't want to go to that line. I'll never forget a couple games ago.
They should have fouled Giannis, honestly.
Where when we get back, we're going to talk about that last play. And obviously, Coach Mike Brown was out. But I don't understand. We talked a little bit about this with the Sactown Sports Kings Insiders yesterday on their show. But I just don't understand how Dame gets that shot off.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I could understand it, but it is, I mean, looking back at the tape especially, like it's there's some basketball IQ moments that probably
one job, Chris.
Could have helped that situation.
One job.
Yeah.
One guy.
Yeah.
Okay? Who else? Middleton wasn't playing. If Malik Beasley hits that three, cool.
Sure.
If Giannis...
But you can't give an open look, though. That's the only thing, is you can't give an open... Sabonis could have doubled him because Brooke Lopez was still at the the half court line. We'll talk about it on the other side.
All right, got to get to a break. Talking Kings. We were supposed to talk football, but Kings came up because, we are a show of the people, and the Sac Chat wanted to talk about free throws, so here we are talking free throws, but we will be talking NFL as well, some Niners talk with the QBs left because it is crazy. But these free throws, all show long, if you have an idea to help the Kings free throw shooting, we will read out the good ideas. If you have any ideas, we've already thought about going Rick Barry. Okay, we already had a caller offer their services to go in and help them shoot free throws. We are taking all thoughts and suggestions about the Kings and their free throw shooting. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
You got Styles, and you got Watkins, and you got Nate Littlefield, by the way. I haven't given a shout out to Nate yet behind the glass, doing his thing as always. And Chris doing some investigations. Turns out that the Kings could still do it if you count the bubble championship as a
Oh, interesting. All the Kings need is a global pandemic to split the season about 4 months into the future or whatever it was, and then maybe they have a chance. But, yeah, I mean, as you were asking about some of the worst free throw shooting teams to actually have success in the playoffs, got me thinking, and so I did a nice little search of teams that have shot under 73%, which the Kings are at. 73.3% right now, worse than the NBA.
C-minus.
Really terrible. And I'm looking at the teams that have had most recent level of success. I mean, there's a lot of 500 teams, surprisingly enough. You have the 13-14 Lob City Clippers shot 73%, still won 57 games. And then you have, let's see here, the 15-16 Washington Wizards shot 73%, went 500. But yes, the 2019-2020 bubble Lakers shot 72.9% from the free throw line and finished 52-19 in that shortened season. And I'm trying to find exactly what they shot in the playoffs. I would definitely assume in the playoffs they didn't shoot that poorly. I can only get the individual numbers, so I'm still working
on the
collection.
Rondo probably didn't help there.
Let's see here. If I'm just looking at their playoff numbers, I mean, Anthony Davis ended up shooting 83% from the line on 8 attempts, so that definitely helps. Even LeBron shot 72% on 7 free throws per game. So, I mean, those were really between the two of them, they took 15 free throws and shot somewhere near 76-77%. So, I mean, realistically, that's kind of like the Kings situation too, where Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron take a vast majority of the free throws. And so really it's mainly about how well those two end up shooting in the postseason that's going to do it. So I guess if you're going to try and say that for the Kings, I would say De'Aaron's probably more likely to be near that 80%. Again, AD got up to 83% And in the regular season, AD shot 84%, actually. So he really, that's about as good as AD shoots. So kind of sounds like the Kings are screwed, because at the end of the day, again, the two guys who take the most free throws don't shoot them well. So that's kind of a tough problem to get around.
Yeah, I don't know what they do to fix it. And I'm not kidding about the underhand thing. I mean, I'm honestly not. I know nobody would do it. But anything you can do, because teams are going to continue to just hack you, and it's not going to get any better when you get to the playoffs, because, no. You know, that's why a lot of those, you know, a lot of the prognosticators will say, well, who shoots free throws well? Because it is so important when you get to the line. Every point is important in the playoffs. So we'll continue to talk Kings, getting back to some NFL. And Nate, I want to get your thoughts on this as well, because I don't know how many people saw this, and I guess I might be going get off my lawn here, but Tua did not have a great game.
Yeah.
Okay. Tua did not have a great game. I don't think Coach Mike McDaniel had a great game. Okay. And after the game, I don't know if you saw this video, but Tua is saying, you know, good game to Patrick Mahomes.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. And Tua, right after the game, asks, you can see him mouth it. He asks for Patrick Mahomes'
grabs his jersey. Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes basically says no. Basically says, I'll mail you one, little buddy.
Yeah.
I'll mail you one. And I don't know if he ended up giving it.
I think the explanation behind it is that he was giving it to Tyreek.
Right.
Is that not what happened?
Yeah, that's not. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Tua, what are you doing?
Oh, you're mad at Tua. Oh,
that is so bad to me.
Oh.
That is so bad. And I know, like I said, I'm probably going to get off my lawn here. I know people hate it with the NBA players, how they're so cool.
Right.
Cool with each other. And Giannis doesn't work out. He's different. He doesn't work out with people in the offseason. Honestly, that doesn't bother me. Working out with your peers and trying to get better. Because I do think when these guys step on the court, they're about that action, right?
Absolutely.
Now, Draymond is clearly different when he plays LeBron than when he doesn't. But for the most part, I'm not really tripping off that. But Tua, you just lost. And it wasn't even a hard-fought game.
No, not at all.
I might even feel differently if it came down to one throw and Mahomes just went Mahomes and did his thing. Tua, are you a fan?
Big time.
Are you a fan, Tua? You need to worry about throwing those left-handed ducks in the cold, not get, can I get your jersey? Hey, Mahomes, great game. Can I get your jersey, please? I'm so off that. That is a terrible look to me. You can't be my franchise QB doing soft stuff like that. I'm out. If I'm the Dolphins, that actually would tick me off more than the left-handed ducks. I'm going to be honest with you.
It's not great.
It's a bad look.
It's a cherry
look.
On top.
Am I tripping?
No, I don't think. I mean, maybe like you might care more than the average Joe, but like I think that you're totally, everything you said is
timing.
Spot on.
Timing terrible. Of it is terrible.
Because, and also, like, it's not fair, but quarterbacks are held to a different standard where it's like, dude, I need you, like, again, maybe it's my turn to be the get off my lawn guy, but I want you to be focused on the game. And like in the immediate aftermath of the game, I don't want you to be thinking, let me go give Pat his respect and, oh man, let me go ask for his jersey too. I know the game had been decided for a while, but, you know, sit on it a little bit. Like,
sit
you know,
a little
like,
bit.
At least let it hurt. Like, I'm not saying you got to do it now. I'm going to criticize you if you do the, hey, team camera guy, get a picture of me standing on the sideline
that
as everybody's
actually
celebrating.
That would bother me less. It would bother me less.
Oh, that's a great question. It would bother me less. It would bother me less because at the very least, it's like a...
You don't know the camera's there. If you legitimately
there's
are
at least
like,
plausible deniability,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, but going up, it just reeks of...
You're focused. You're worried about the wrong
that's
thing.
That's no dog.
You're just worried
that's
about
no
the
dog.
Wrong thing in that moment. And yeah, it's. I have no problem with him giving Patrick Mahomes his respect. That's absolutely what you should do. But, you know, again, I don't know if right there and then is the time and place to say, hey, bro, like... Let me, and he's like yanking on his jersey. Like he tugs on the jersey just in case he can't hear him. He's like, yo, let me get this. And shout out Pat Mahomes, who, I mean, I'm sure he has to turn people down all the time for stuff, but he just kind of chuckled into his face and was like, bro, like this one, I already told Reek I would give this to him, but I got you. I'll send you something in the mail.
That's
I got
crazy.
You. That's crazy.
Doing that in a wild card game that wasn't even close is crazy.
That's crazy.
AFC Championship and it wasn't close? Okay. Wild card game and it was close? Okay.
Last game of your season.
That's crazy to me. It really wouldn't bother me if it was a hard fought game.
No.
That,
yeah, because it's a bad, yeah, like if that's the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, 10-second yes. touchdown yeah. drive, for sure. That's game respect, game in that moment. That, yeah, you can't get blown out and then ask the other dude for his jersey on the spot.
And like, what do you even
get it done in the locker room?
What do they
anything.
Even do with these jerseys anyway?
It's same that we do here. They just hang it up in their man cave and have it signed and just here, Tua, have it the rest of their life.
Here's a jersey.
Tua's remember his, when I beat you?
Right. Like, yeah, remember, Tua's in his man cave.
26-7.
People, yeah, like, touring people around. Yeah, this was that AFC wildcard game where Mahomes beat the brakes off me, yeah. and I was terrible.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I like to look
that's
at
a good
this
memory
one.
For
it's
me.
It's a good memory, yeah. And I actually haven't watched
it's
it
It's the closest
either.
I've ever been to true greatness.
It still
so.
Smells like a loss. That's why I keep it in my man cave. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Chris Biederman joins us to talk Kings and Niners. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.